Thank you, Jerry and Jim. Do appreciate it. Do appreciate the opportunity to be up here with my brother Frank, my brother-in-law, my brother in Christ. He's has a special place in all of our hearts. Seen a lot of things happen. There's been a lot of things happen to our brother Frank over the last several years, as he will attest. And they all seem to work for the betterment for all of us. Those trials that were his and continue to be his are ours also. So when we see those healings and those triumphs, there are triumphs also. And I know that all of us rejoice in the fact that he can stand up here and deliver a sermon to each of us, that he can go about the tasks that the Lord has given him, and they are mighty tasks. Strengthen him for the Philippines and the work as an apostle. And I rejoice in that. I rejoice that the Lord blesses us through our apostles and through our ministry and through each one of you. So without further ado, our brother and apostle Frank Fan.
Thank you, Brother Steve. Good morning, all. Before I start this morning, I just want Brother Mike to know that I got the words of encouragement. When Brother Mike and I are in the Philippines, we preach every day. And one of us have the words of encouragement, and the other one has the sermon. And the difference is about an hour. And, you know, when you are like me, and you've reached a certain age, you begin to lose the sharpness of memory. And our brother Mike, being younger, healthier, sharper, takes advantage of that. And so I find myself giving the sermon every day. But I've been taking a class in memory so that when I go back next time, that'll not happen. This morning I would like to talk about a subject that was kind of based on some of our experiences in the Philippines. It has to do with faith. And I know faith has been preached about, gosh, hundreds of times from this pulpit. But I'm going to look at faith a little bit different today, I think. We have a sister in the Philippines. She's the wife of the pastor of our largest congregation. And that is in Compostela. And they have a church that is built off of the side of their living quarters. And it's fairly well put up. But Brother Mike and I, every time we go there, we sit in a little bit of fear. Because the roof is sagging. And we're afraid that it's going to fall in on us. And we talk to Sister Melba about this and say, Sister Melba, the roof is going to fall in. We're liable to kill half of our congregation. And she says, the Lord will survive and take care. Okay. And we say, Sister Melba, you're going to run out of money. You cannot keep taking care of all these people. And she says, Brother Frank, the Lord will provide. And finally, they decided in Compostela to build a different church building because we had complained about the roof going to fall in so many times. So they have a plot of ground. And this plot of ground is in a rice paddy, which is flooded all the time. So to be able to use this plot of ground, they have to bring it up about 5 foot with dirt, hauled in dirt. And I said, Sister Melba, how is this going to happen? Where are you going to get this dirt? The Lord will provide. And lo and behold, they took Mike and I out there, and it looked about like a third of it, or maybe almost half of it is filled up. The Lord is providing. But Sister Melba doesn't have a faith like some that I've heard, who, if wanting to get to the back door, would set up here and say, the Lord will provide and move me to the back door. She says, I'm going to go to the back door, and then she starts walking towards it, having faith that the Lord will provide a way. She has faith that the Lord's going to provide dirt to fill that rice paddy. She has faith that when she is taking on another operation for the Smile Babies, that the money will be there. Or that she has faith that the roof won't collapse in their church building. You and I need that faith. You know, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it states that faith is the substance of things hoped for, of the evidence of things not seen. And I read that, and I just can't grasp it. You know, I believe that between the Hebrew, the Greek, and the English, something has been lost in this. It just doesn't grab me. And maybe it's only me. Maybe it's plain as day to you. But I really don't understand what it's trying to tell me. I think something has muddied the waters there. So, I went to old Webster to find out what Webster has to say about faith. First, he says that it is a confidence in the truth. Now, I like that even better. Faith is a confidence in the truth. It's a confidence in the value or trustworthiness of a person or an idea or a thing. Then it says that a belief that does not rest upon logical proof or material evidence. So it's a little plainer to me now of what faith is. And then the last thing it says in Webster's dictionary is that it is a secure belief in God and a trusting acceptance of His will. And that's what faith is to me. It's a sure belief in God and a trusting acceptance of those things that He has for you and I. Now, these are the definitions that I'm able to understand. They make it a little clearer to me. In the sixth verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says that without faith it is impossible to please Him. So if we don't have a secure belief that He is, and we don't submit ourselves unto Him, how can we please Him? And isn't that the desire of everyone here? That we please our Heavenly Father? That you and I do that which pleases Him? Our great mission in this life. Our mission in this life is to please God. That's why we are here. That's why we're on this earth. To please God. Our salvation depends upon our pleasing God. So it behooves you and I to have that great faith. And I know it's not easy. I know that our faith wavers from time to time. I know mine has highs and lows. And I'm sure you're the same way. We grow. We become stronger in the faith. And then something happens in our life and we slide back a little bit. And we don't quite have the faith in our lives that we had before. And it may be a sickness. It may be a disappointment. It may be that something happens in our life that we think should not happen to us. And we become disappointed in God's overlooking of us. And our faith decreases. So this morning, I would like to show that besides pleasing God, the importance of having great faith. And we know that our great faith pleases our God. Faith brings understanding. And each one of us lacks understanding. And if we didn't lack understanding as a human race, we would all belong to the same church. There wouldn't be any arguments about doctrine. Faith brings understanding. In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it tells us that now we see through a glass darkly. We don't understand everything that we read in the Scriptures. We might read the same words, the same verse, put the same punctuation, put the same emphasis on each word, and yet have an entirely different understanding of that Scripture. But it tells us that faith bringeth understanding. I've said, and maybe you have too. That something just don't sound right to me. Yeah, I've said this about the scriptures. I've read a scripture and I said, yeah, this just don't sound right. You know, this just can't be because, and I've heard one, it isn't fair. I like that one. It isn't fair. You know, we're questioning our Heavenly Father. But what we need to do is have that great faith that when we read this, that we use that faith to bring understanding to our minds. And then we wouldn't say it just don't look right. Or it just isn't fair. But we are looking now. You and I, we're looking now at the scriptures with our human understanding. And these are the times, these last days, we need to look with great faith to see the truthfulness within the scriptures in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon. And in this 11th chapter of Hebrews, it tells us that we can understand how the worlds were formed by using our faith. And we know that there are a lot of different ideas within this world of how it came about. I've heard it's always been like it is. Or the Big Bang. Or God created it just like it is now. Or it used to be full of volcanoes and molten lava. There are many, many different ideas of how the worlds were formed. So how do you and I know the truth? Only one way. Through our great faith. Hebrews says, if we have that great faith and we use that great faith, then we will know how the worlds were formed. By faith, we can offer a more excellent sacrifice. What is that excellent sacrifice that can be better through our faith? I'd like to turn over to Romans. The 12th chapter. Verses 1 and 2. 12th chapter of Romans, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what is that perfect sacrifice? Living that Christ-like life. Everything we do, everything we think, every action that comes about because of us for God. That is our reasonable service. We think, walk, and talk the will of God. And if you and I do that through our great faith, we can accomplish this. There is no greater sacrifice than giving our time, than giving our efforts, or giving our monies and our thoughts to the Lord. Living a Christ-like life for the glory of God. That is our reasonable service. By faith, we will not see a second death. We can be saved. Revelation, the 20th chapter, 6th verse. Says, blessed and holy is he that hath a part in the first resurrection. Are you and I going to have a part in the first resurrection? Says, if we do, blessed and holy are we. Are we today living our lives with such faith that we have a chance to come forth in the first resurrection? It says, on such, the second death hath no power. And then it goes on to say, they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Does that sound like something that you'd be interested in? Does that sound like something that's worth working for? Does that sound like something that's worth sacrificing for? And what would we be sacrificing? We'd be sacrificing sin. We'd be sacrificing disinterest in Jesus Christ. We'd be sacrificing wasted time. We'd be sacrificing money wasted on something other than the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Is it worth sacrificing those things to be able to come forth in that first resurrection? To be called priests and kings of Jesus Christ and reign with him for 1,000 years? Would it be worth it? I believe it would. And what does Hebrews say? That we can do this if we have faith. Faith that it will happen. The Lord will provide. By faith we are warned. We're warned of danger. Warned of transgressing. Warned of those things that might come upon us that would draw us away from Jesus Christ. And that Holy Ghost that was given to you and I under the hands of the elders when we were baptized warns us. Keeps us in the paths of righteousness. I could spend the rest of this hour and maybe even longer telling you stories of how Brother Mike and I have been warned of God of dangers that we were facing in the Philippines. And I know without a doubt that him and I are here today because we heeded those warnings. How does it say in Hebrews? Through faith, warnings are given. And you and I have an opportunity each day to listen to those warnings when God sees us about to partake of those things that are contrary to His will. And He speaks with that small voice to us and He says, don't go there. Don't do that. Refrain yourself. Two problems that I see is one, we don't always recognize that voice. You know, that's just my imagination. That's just my thinking. We don't recognize that voice. And the second thing I see is when we do recognize it, we don't heed it. We don't obey it. Well, if I listened to that, I wouldn't be able to do this or that. I would miss out on this experience. Is it worth it? Is it worth exercising our faith that God may have the opportunity to warn us not only of physical dangers, but of spiritual dangers also? By faith, we become the heirs of righteousness. Our right living is improved by our faith. And by believing, we shall receive a reward that we shall be in a better place when we become more righteous. And that's our goal. That's why each one of you probably this morning took the time to get out of the nice warm bed and come out here so that we can improve our righteousness. So that we can come closer to God. So that we together may find out those things that we collectively and individually a need to do to please God. By faith, we obey. Through our faith, we obey. Our faith tells us that our God is our leader and our God is our commander. And if we obey Him, we shall receive the reward. You know, the thought that just went through my mind, and it's probably a bad thought. But I'm going to tell you what went through my mind when I said that. You know, I said that through faith, we can receive a reward. And the thought, the picture that went through my mind was a man training a dog with a reward in his hand. But God does train us through rewards. Oh, no way are we dogs. No way are we animals. We are the creation of our Heavenly Father. We were created a little lower than the angels. And because of this, God in his heart has a great love for you and I. And he wants to reward us. He wants to give us eternal life. He wants us to have a place at his right hand. And he has given us all the tools that we need to obtain that. In Hebrews 5:9, it says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." There's that qualifier there, isn't there? My gosh, we have to obey him. And do we obey him? Yeah, I had a Sunday school class downstairs this morning. I asked that question. Do we obey him? And the overwhelming answer was, not all the time. You know, not all the time do we obey him. You and I sometime go our own way. And when we go our own way, we are rebelling against our Heavenly Father. And we hate to think of that. I'm rebelling against God. And yet every time that we do our will and not the will of God, we are rebelling against him. Do we obey him? Or do we tend to do that which makes us happy? You know, we like to be a happy people. And I like to think that I am happy. But I believe with all my heart that you and I can obey the will of God in all things and be the most happiest people on the face of the earth. Because we will be happy in the kingdom of God instead of happy in the kingdom of man. And another question is, do we obey those hard things that we see in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon? Yeah, there's some hard things. But we have to obey those hard things before God can bless us. By faith, we receive strength. The Book of Mormon says, "He makes the weak things strong." And you and I are weak creatures. We like to think that we're strong. I mean, thousands and hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars are spent each year on you and I going to the gym to build up our muscles, to make ourselves physically strong. And I ask you, does that get you one step closer to heaven? All the money, all the time, all the effort does not get you one step closer to heaven. We need to strengthen our spiritual life. Strengthen our spiritual life so that we may please God. If we have faith, he will be with us. to help us overcome. And it is written, we will be victorious. Victorious over what? Victorious over the world. Victorious over Satan. Victorious over sin. Victorious over death. We will be victorious. And we can accomplish this through our faith. And by faith we confess. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? I don't want really anybody to know my faults, although you all look at me and pretty much can see them. But we have pride within us. And we hate to admit that we may have a fault, or we hate to admit that we may have done something wrong, or we hate to admit that what we did was sinful. Or we like to think of it as innocent fun. Or, really, that doesn't hurt anything. But our faith tells us, if we sin, if we do that which is contrary to God's will, our faith tells us we must come clean. We must come clean. We must confess our sins to God and ask His forgiveness. Get down on our knees. Plead with Him to not only forgive us, but to change our lives. Give us strength that we may be able to overcome that sin that come into our lives. By faith, we worship. We don't know. We don't know of a surety. We don't know of a surety that there is a God. We haven't the mental capacity to know of a surety that there is a God. Greater minds than you and I have studied the subject of God and come to the conclusion that there is no hard evidence. But you and I know, do we not? And we don't know by that hard evidence. We know through the power of the Holy Ghost, through our faith, we know there is a God. We have faith that God made you and I. The scientists, the great minds of this world, will say to you that we evolved over eons of time. And yet you and I, through our faith, know that we were made in the image of God. We can't prove it. No scientific fact that the community of the scientists would accept, except we have that faith of God, that those things that He put in His records are true. We must have of that great faith. We must have faith that God is supreme. And so it is by that great faith that you and I worship this God. And lastly, by faith, we obtain a good report. We do that which is right because we have faith that by so doing, we not only have a good report among men, but a good report in heaven. And you and I need that good report in heaven. We need by our lives to show God that we believe in Him and are willing to follow Him and willing to do that which He tells us to do. And by that faith, you and I are made perfect. And it's possible that you and I, through our great faith, may become perfect. I'm going to turn over to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, 10th verse. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Yeah, through our great faith, we can become perfect. And then in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, 20 and 21st verses. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, have that great faith. All things are possible with it. And you and I can truly become children of God. I'm going to read a poem by Helen Steiner Rice. It's called Faith for Dark Days. When dark days come, and they come to us all, we feel so helpless, lost, and small. We cannot fathom the reason why, and it is futile for us to try to find the answer, the reason, or cause, for the master plan is without any flaws. And when the darkness shuns out the light, we must lean on faith to restore our sight. For there's nothing we need to know if we have faith that wherever we go, God will be there to help and bear our disappointments, pain, and care. For he is our shepherd, our father, our guide. And you're never alone with the Lord at your side. Thank you very much.